This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
There is a lot of conversation now about the ordering atop the draft. Who goes where? Which quarterback should be number two? Is there a clear differential between one and two? Is that greater than two and three? We will get to that coming up. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. But we're having the conversation about your favorite player going to your rival team, as the conversation about LeBron to the Warriors would impact the Laker fans. The Cavs fans would be mad about this. I just want to ask one question to one Michelle Smallman.
Yes.
Which is, oh, whatever, this is no big deal.
No.
If, I don't know, let's say Albert Pujols played for the Cubs. Your thoughts?
I would have hated it.
But okay.
But he already left and went for the Angels.
All right, Yadi Molina
playing for the Cubs. And I didn't have to cheer against him then because he played for the Angels. I knew nothing was going to happen.
Yadi Molina.
Oh, God. For the Cubs?
See?
Never.
This is the point.
Never. He would never do it.
See, you can't say it that way.
He would never do that to us. Ever.
That's the point right there.
So it's kind of like how Packers fans would have felt if Brett Favre actually won the NFC Championship game in New Orleans and won a Super Bowl.
That would have, CC, crushed Packers fans. It would have been so awful for them.
But would it have tainted the championship that Brett Favre won for him in the 90s?
I don't see how a championship can be retroactively tainted unless you find out something happened along the way that was illegal.
Like taping the other team's walkthrough?
I don't even feel that way about the Patriots. Like with your team, Deflategate, Spygate, they still won the chip.
I agree with you.
Listen, I feel a certain type of way about that one, about Spygate, but let's not get into that and go down that road.
Jonathan in Ohio listening on SiriusXM 80. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Morning.
I'm a lifetime Cavs fan, and I've always loved LeBron. And as a Cavs fan, we appreciate him, and we kind of root for him from afar. Like, I'm not a Lakers fan, but, you know, I still root for the Lakers because we love LeBron. If he goes to Golden State, we're still rooting for LeBron. It's just hard to root for the Golden State Warriors. That's a tough pill to swallow when he goes there.
Would it retroactively change your opinion on the title you won in 16?
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. It would just make it a little hard to root for him anymore after he went there. That'd just be the tough part.
Understood. Frank in L.A. listening on 710 ESPN L.A. What's up, Frank?
How you guys doing?
Morning.
Michelle, you're best. Hey, my point is, you know, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I hate the Red Sox. I hate Wade Boggs. I hate Roger Clemens. But when they became, I loved them. And one last thing, CC, Happy New Year.
Frank, amazing.
See, I agree with that. Like, you're a Yankee fan. You were okay with Clemens and Boggs and everybody coming over. And Damon, initially, it didn't feel icky at all?
I was fine with it. Because the organization kept their foot on the pedal, which is trying to win championships. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
What if it was the other way? What if there was a time, if I'm not mistaken, Bernie Williams was talking to the Red Sox?
Yes, and that's my favorite Yankee of all time.
Okay, Ooh. Let's play that out. He goes to the Red Sox. How do you feel about that? And he wins a title.
I would want him to have individual success, but I root against the team.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The idea of retroactively taking away from the title makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Craig in Wisconsin listening on ESPN Madison, 100.5 FM.
Yeah, when Brett Favre went to the Vikings, I hated it. He was my childhood hero, and I just thought it was a horrible thing, but I don't dislike the Packers because Favre went there. It doesn't taint nothing. I mean, if he wins the title with the Vikings, it is what it is. It doesn't taint the title he won with us in 96, 97. So.
Yeah, and I think that's the point. Thanks for the call. I do wonder, though, if it's a one-timer, right? Like, the Cavs won once. The Packers have won many times. Like, I wonder if Dirk and D-Wade at the time, now they're not, but they were rivals at the time. I wonder if Dirk went and played for Miami, if that would taint the title for the Mavs. Let's get one more on this. Stefan in St. Louis on 101 ESPN. What's up, Stefan?
First, I'd like to say I love you, Michelle Smallman, because you rep my city so hard from St. Louis. But Pittsburgh Steelers, James Harrison going to the Bengals and going to the Patriots, it does not take away from his 100-yard interception in the Super Bowl. And same with Antonio Brown. When he went to the Patriots, when he went to the Bucs, I still rooted for them, but I hated it at the same time. But, you know, I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, and thanks for the call. But those are multiple-time champions. I wonder if the one-time champion had their best player go to their rival, how that fan base would feel about that. Just throwing that out there. All right. Draft is in a couple of months here, and it seems like Caleb Williams is going to go number one to the Chicago Bears. Number two seems to be somewhat of a question right now. CC was watching some highlights the other night of Drake May, thought really highly of him. Obviously, he's going to go 2 or 3. Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, was on Get Up talking about Jaden Daniels from LSU.
For me, I never had any question from the get-go when I started watching these quarterbacks as to who number two was. Jaden Daniels, for me, is clearly number two. And I think as we move through this process, I know there are going to be people who say, well, you know, Drake May, once he gets into the interviews and all, you know, people are going to become wild with him. Well, I think people are going to be very impressed with Jaden Daniels as well as we move through the draft process. Because remember, this is the time of year where things can get a little sideways because there's no football being played now. There's no football being played, but you can wind up tricking yourself into thinking things that you shouldn't be thinking about. As long as Jaden Daniels doesn't do anything to hurt himself, I think, in this pre-draft process, and as long as people are comfortable with ultimately what his verifieds are as far as his height and his weight and his hand size and what he looks like. And I've said, I want to see Jaden Daniels in person. I want to stand next to him, just like I stood next to Bryce Young last year and stood next to C.J. Stroud in consecutive days. And that's why, for me, it was a slam dunk. It's C.J. Stroud for me. I want to see Jaden Daniels.
So all of this, we have Caleb Williams, we have Jaden Daniels, we have Drake May. Let's reverse the process for a second. If you're Caleb Williams and you could pick the team you go to, so you have the top three, you have Chicago, Washington, and New England. We know that those are the three teams that are likely going to take quarterbacks. Where are you picking if you're him? If he gets the draft instead of
him. Oh, he's going home. I'm going to the Washington Commanders.
So that's the best option of the top three.
First of all, that's his hometown, but the Commanders have, what, 5 picks in the first 101 draft selections? And they have the most cap space of anybody in the NFL. And you think about the skill position players that you're working with in Washington, Terry McLaurin, you got Brian Robinson Jr., you got Jahan Dotson, you got Logan Thomas, you got some good pieces, Antonio Gibson, you got some good pieces to work with on that offensive side of the ball. Offensive line got to get fixed, but guess what? That's what the cash and free agency is for. We can address it that way. You look at the stability at the head coaching spot. They just hired Dan Quinn, and they got Cliff Kingsbury to be the offensive coordinator, an air raid system, a system where you've seen players with similar skill sets have success with in both the college and the professional ranks. To me, that makes a whole lot of sense. So Washington would be the clear-cut best place for Caleb to land, and then right behind that would probably be the New England Patriots. The thing that makes me leery about the Chicago Bears, who have the number one overall pick, is the head coaching situation. Mm-hmm. With Matt Eberflus, it feels like it's touch and go in terms of his job security, and I just don't know that that's the situation you want to parachute a rookie quarterback in. And it really feels like this vicious cycle that the Bears have been in, right? Not having their head coach and their quarterback be on the same timeline and result in putting one another in really bad spots, right? You have a head coach that's an incumbent on the hot seat, you draft a rookie quarterback. Matt Nagy and Justin Fields, how'd that work out? And then you've got Matt Eberflus, who inherited Justin Fields, and he's on the hot seat because they have a question mark around the quarterback. So it's the Bears not being able to get out of their own way. And if I'm Caleb Williams, I'm not interested in being the next name in a long line of names that have failed at that position when they've invested premium picks. So I would be hesitant about the Chicago situation, which is why I think it's imperative that the Bears brass get Caleb Williams very comfortable with what their plan is as a franchise, both in terms of being able to develop him individually, but get the program on solid footing so they can have sustained success.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it's kind of hard to say this because we haven't been able to say this for a very long time about the football team in Washington, but doesn't it feel like the Commanders are poised to have more stability than the Chicago Bears are right now?
Yeah.
I don't feel that way, no.
Why don't you feel that way?
Because I was completely unimpressed with their entire search and their process. Because I was blown away when they were creative enough to bring in Bob Myers, former Warriors executive and current teammate of ours at ESPN. And I just thought they were going to do something that we didn't see coming and have this level of creativity. And Dan Quinn's a good football coach. Nobody's arguing that. But Dan Quinn is an easy, obvious hire. I'm not blown away impressed by them. The Bears are actually better than Washington right now.
But you don't know what is going to happen with the head coaching spot, as CC just said there. They could, in a year, move on from Matt Eberflus, and then Caleb Williams will have to hit the restart button again. Whereas it feels like, in Washington, he would have a longer runway with a set group of coaches, including a coach that he knew at USC and Cliff Kingsbury.
So it's why I've said all along, I think the Bears should have either fired Matt Eberflus or extended him. I think what they've done is actually
in between, and that's not the right move.
The gray area is a bad place to be.
If they extended Matt Eberflus today, I think that we'd all feel differently about this. We may not think he's a big-time coach, but we would all feel differently about the idea that, you know what, okay, we may not see that this guy is Vince Lombardi, but he's something of significance, and he's going to be there for a long period of time.
But that's why I can't trust the Chicago Bears. You cannot mess this up. You have been in quarterback purgatory for a long time, and now you have the opportunity to bring Caleb Williams in, somebody that people are comparing to Patrick Mahomes, somebody that we've been talking about for years as a guy who's going to come in and be a transformational franchise quarterback. You cannot mess this up.
But you already messed it up. You already messed it up because you didn't take CJ Stroud last year.
Right, but even with that being said, you could have either fired Matt Eberflus, as you said, Evan, and brought in a new coach and known that that coach is going to work with Caleb Williams or extended him. Instead, you're doing the same old thing. You're potentially bringing in a new quarterback to a situation that's filled with gray area. Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you have this opportunity to change your franchise and not make sure that it's a stable environment around this player?
Everything you're saying is fair. It's why I would not trade Justin Fields yet. Because I don't know what's going to happen. Because the conversation that we just had is happening with Caleb Williams, I'm sure, and his team around him of, where do we want to go? Do we want to maybe make a push to go to Washington? Could we maybe ask to go somewhere else and not go to Chicago?
What does the Justin Fields of it all have anything to do with it?
Because I think that Justin Fields could be better than the other, potentially, if they believe that Justin Fields could be better than the other two guys. If they think that Justin Fields could be better than Drake May or Jaden Daniels. No. If they believe that. But until I know for sure that I'm getting Caleb Williams, I have to keep my options open. And right now, I don't know what's going to happen because I don't think we've heard at all any kind of absolute answer from Caleb Williams and his team, but we're good to go wherever we go, right?
We're up against the break. We got to get back into this because I disagree with where you're coming at with the Justin Fields thing.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. We're Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
That makes me sound real antisocial.
I think that's directed right at Rob Lorenzo, our social and digital guy, who texted us yesterday, and both you and I gave him a thumbs up and nothing else.
That did happen. That did happen.
Rob, stop texting us. You just learned to never text us again.
Rob and I are twinning today, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't know how that happened.
Yeah,
we just
you
walked
guys
in
are.
And looked at each other and said, hey.
Yeah, both wearing yellow.
Yeah, great minds think alike, though. Providing a little bit of sunshine in the unsportsmanlike studio that doesn't have any windows.
Yeah, it's like Steelers yellow.
Right.
Uh-oh. You're a Steeler now all of a sudden?
No, never.
Well, I was just saying that towards Rob. He's wearing a little black and yellow.
Rob's a Browns fan, CeCe's a Raven, and you just compared them both to wearing Steelers yellow?
Steelers yellow.
This is kind of like the maze from Maze and Blue because I'm a Michigan fan.
That's true.
Celebrating the championship.
You are a Michigan
man. That's how
man.
I'm looking at it.
You are a Michigan man. That's right.
Exactly.
Speaking of the Steelers, their quarterback next year may be Justin Fields. It's not impossible. We've heard a lot of rumors about that. Here's basically what it comes down to. If Justin Fields was in this draft, where would he go? Would he be the second pick in the draft?
No.
Where would he be?
I think Justin Fields would probably be the fourth quarterback off the board. I think he'd be behind Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. All three of those guys are absolute ballers. This is an outstanding quarterback class. This ain't like the 2021 quarterback class where it's Trevor Lawrence and a bunch of guys. You know what I mean? This is different. This is another level. Drake May, I mean, we're splitting hairs when it comes to Drake May and Caleb Williams. Like, I've watched the highlights from both of those guys. They are absolutely phenomenal. And here's the crazy thing. Jaden Daniels ain't that far behind. Like, I can understand how somebody could absolutely fall in love with Jaden Daniels. He's 6'3". He's a little slight, 190 pounds, but this guy can spin it. He's got the fastball, but he can also throw with touch. And the thing that becomes the X factor is his ability as a runner. I think Jaden Daniels is by far and away a better runner than either Drake May or Caleb Williams. I mean, the run that Jaden Daniels had in the fourth quarter against Missouri on the road for a go-ahead touchdown, I mean, the guy breaks out for 50 yards and houses it. I mean, that is absolutely incredible that he has that kind of ability. I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson, but it's going that way in terms of what it looks like.
Wow.
That's how good he is. And here's the thing. I think he's the third best quarterback in his class. I think he's the third best quarterback in this class. That's how good the other two guys are. So, I mean, listen, I don't think you can go wrong with any of them as players. And I think a big determination on the success that they're going to have is where they actually go. And I will say this, I think Caleb Williams deserves to be the number one overall pick just because his playmaking and improvisation is what separates him from the other two guys. But, I mean, listen, all three of these quarterbacks, you know, are worthy of being the number one overall pick in any given year. That's how good this class is.
As you're going through that, it makes me wonder then if the Bears are maybe more open to trading that pick than we might consider.
They should be. They should be. If Washington is gung-ho on Caleb Williams and the Bears are offered, you know, two first-round draft picks, including number two this year, and a premium player like Daron Payne, an interior defensive lineman, which they need, then yeah, I would trade back. I would absolutely do
wait
that.
Wait a second. Wait a second.
I would absolutely
wait a second.
Do that.
And wait
a
second. Get absolutely the other two?
All right, here's the pick. Absolutely here's the trade. That. So it's number two this year, their first round pick next year, and their first round pick 2 years from now.
No, that's too
three
much.
Three first
that's
round
crazy.
Picks?
That's crazy
I would
town.
Do it for sure.
That's crazy town. That's crazy town.
Well, I'm not doing it for
two. If I'm the Commanders.
I need the most I can get.
If I'm the Commanders, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it.
Well, then if I'm the Bears, I'm not doing it unless I get everything I possibly could get from you.
You're not going to get three first round draft picks to slide back one spot. Not when the quarterbacks are that good in this class.
Okay, so then let's do the comps here on this. So we're not saying they're going to become these guys, but Caleb Williams to Mahomes, right? Is that the best comp for him?
Yeah.
Okay. You just gave us Jaden Daniels to Lamar.
Yeah, Drake Mays, Justin Herbert.
Okay, so if there's a chance you have Mahomes, Herbert, and Lamar in this draft.
Listen, Drake May, Justin Herbert, but a better scrambler. Think about that. Justin Herbert, 6'4", 230 pounds. That's the dimensions of Drake May, 6'4", 230 pounds, a better runner than Justin Herbert, but from an arm talent standpoint, every bit as good.
Oof.
He's got to clean up the footwork, the fundamentals to the position. He's not as advanced as Herbert was coming out of Oregon in that regard. But in terms of natural ability and what it looks like when he plays, Justin Herbert. Those are the comps.
So if I could get Lamar Jackson and or Justin Herbert plus picks.
Plus two first-round draft picks. And think about it. We're not just talking about any first-round draft picks. We're talking about top three picks. Uh-huh. When you look at the Commanders and the Patriots, the other teams that are in the quarterback market, and a first-rounder next year from a team that will presumably be starting a rookie quarterback and a premium player. Why wouldn't you do that deal?
It's pretty intoxicating.
You know what all three of these teams, though, have in common? They don't have Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, and Jim Harbaugh. That's part of this, right? Every single one of them has questions at the coaching position.
Is Dan Quinn a question, though? I don't think Dan Quinn is a question.
Is he an answer?
I don't think he's a question.
but is he an answer?
He's a good coach. He took a team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
he's a good coach.
Say.
I get it.
Look at him as a coordinator. He's a good coach.
I get it.
You
can't take that away from Dan
Quinn. I said he's good.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking about Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, and Jim Harbaugh. They're great.
But just because he's not the sexy pick doesn't mean he wasn't the right pick.
Yeah, I understand.
We could look back on this
in 3 years and be like, oh, yeah, with the names that were out there, we were a little surprised that it was Dan Quinn, but this could end up being the right pick for that organization.
Derek in Houston listening on 97.5. What's up, Derek?
Hey, guys. I love the show. Just wanted to, a couple things. Justin Fields, name me besides Tom Brady and maybe Patrick Mahomes, any quarterback in the last 10, 12 years, Super Bowl winning quarterback, a great quarterback, that hadn't had a particular weapon at that receiver, Hall of Fame, or even great. I know they're giving up, and I'm a Cowboys fan, by the way, so no pressure. I know they're giving up on Justin Fields, but when you put the other guy there from USC, if you don't surround a quarterback with an excellent or great receiver, just find me somebody who even Baker Mayfield showed you he can elevate when you're throwing to Mike Evans. Another thing, you talked about Drake May cleaning up his footwork. Well, it was Patrick Mahomes that sealed the fate of the 49ers, essentially, with those two scrambles. And if Drake May can't come in with footwork or whatever, they got him ranked high, and Jaden Daniels didn't win the Heisman with his feet. So
it didn't hurt him. I mean, it didn't hurt him, right? I mean, the amount of touchdowns.
Jaden Daniels had 1,000 yards rushing and 10 rushing touchdowns. The hell are you talking about? What is he talking about? I said clean up his footwork when it comes to his dropbacks and throwing the ball. Not clean up his footwork when it comes to running. I said Drake May is a better runner when he takes off and scrambles than Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
As far as quarterbacks are concerned. It's not Lamar Jackson. He's not going to be that. But it's pretty good. He's a runner. He can get himself out of harm's way. What is he talking about?
I don't know. But I know what you're talking about.
Here's the other part that's so confusing. I don't understand why people cape for Justin Fields so hard. Not to say that it was perfect in Chicago, but he had a 1,000-yard receiver in DJ Moore, who they traded with Carolina for.
I'm not trying to defend Justin Fields.
DJ Moore is a fantastic wide receiver. Cole Kmet is a good tight end. Mm-hmm. Like, there were players there in Chicago.
Mooney
is another guy that's a 1,000-yard receiver.
Yeah, I'm not trying to defend him. I'm just saying, I just want a clarification, because my whole thing is, keep your options open if you're the Bears, if the hypothetical of Caleb Williams doesn't want to go there.
But here's the thing. The Bears have already messed this up. That's the part that people can't. The Bears have already messed this up. Why? Because you had the number one pick last year, and you decided you were going to double down on Justin Fields, only to move off of him a year later. Because they're going to trade Justin Fields this offseason, and they're going to draft a quarterback. But you had a chance to get C.J. Stroud last year, and you forego that opportunity, traded with Carolina. They moved up to be number one. You could have had C.J. Stroud with the number one overall pick. And how different would your franchise look if that's your quarterback?
Pretty different.
Yeah, exactly. Because here's the thing. People are like, well, you know, it depends on where he went. Listen, the Houston Texans were an absolute disaster. Last year, they were an absolute disaster.
Hot mess, yeah.
And C.J. Stroud stepped to an unstable situation and not only proved to be a good quarterback, but won his division, won a playoff game with a rookie head coach. Why would we think that C.J. Stroud wouldn't be capable of stepping in and providing that same air of stability with the Chicago Bears?
But what you said about them doing with Justin Fields when they should have moved on from him, drafted C.J. Stroud, but they committed to him for another year. Doesn't it feel like they're doing the same exact thing with their head coach?
Yeah.
So why would I want to go there if I'm Caleb Williams?
It's a vicious cycle that they're setting themselves up for.
They just can't get out of their own
way. And what you're hoping for is the quarterback to step in and be the savior, and that's the wrong thing to do. You want to be able to develop people in an environment that has stability. And that's not what they're doing by virtue of rolling Matt Eberflus back out there. Sometimes you're just going to have to be unfair to people. And even though Eberflus won 5 of the last 8 and saved his job, it might be to the detriment of the overall infrastructure that's in place when you're introducing a quarterback that's going to be the number one overall pick.
All right, Super Bowl 58 had a Hall of Fame coach and a Hall of Fame player that previously had a love story. One of them said to the other, look what you made me do. Is there bad blood? We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I thought for a moment on Sunday there could have been some bad blood between Andy Reid and Travis Kelce. For a moment. Not for long term. Travis Kelce all fired up, goes and approaches Andy Reid to talk to him about not being in on a play where Isaiah Pacheco fumbles the football to be the blocking tight end in that spot. He was all fired up, bumps into him. Well, Jason and Travis Kelce obviously have their podcast, New Heights, and it was addressed yesterday. We're going to listen to two clips here back to back of these two guys talking about the incident with Andy Reid on Sunday.
I'm not trying to make this situation acceptable, but this is what happens when you have highly motivated, passionate individuals. This doesn't happen if you and Andy aren't as close as you are. That's what nobody knows. The reason this happens is because you two love each other so much and respect each other so much that you feel open enough to have an interaction like this.
It wasn't me mad at Coach Reid as it looks. It was the frustration of our team not having success, turning the ball over, and me being
on the sideline.
Just on the sideline. Damn it.
It was pleading with your head coach to let you go out there and win this mother. That's what it was. Me and you both know what it was. Andy knows what you mean to him and what he means to you. The broadcast showed you having a heated exchange with Coach Reid.
So heated. People are all over this. I mean, I get it.
You crossed the line. I think we can both agree on that.
I can't get that fired up to the point where I'm bumping Coach and it's getting him off balance and stuff.
I mean, let's be honest. The yelling in his face, too, is over the top. I think there's better ways to handle this.
I love Coach Reid. Coach Reid knows how much I'd love to play for him. I'm not playing for anybody else but Big Red. If he calls it quits this year, I'm out there with him, man.
He ain't calling it quits. Come on now.
He's not. I immediately wish I would have took it back. Coach Reid actually came right up to me after that, and he just let him know, hey, man, I love your passion. I got cameras on me all over the place, man.
He's letting you know not to be like that.
Just fired me up even more to go out there and get a victory for him, man. Big Red, sorry if I caught you with that cheap shot, baby. But damn, I love winning with you.
All right, so that's courtesy of New Heights Pod. I understand that people may be sick of Travis Kelce because of the Taylor Swift stuff. I don't know how you can't like these two guys.
Love Travis Kelce.
And the fact that Jason's calling him out like that.
Holding him accountable.
Yeah, and he's saying, you know what, you're right about that. Like, I can't bump my head coach, especially a head coach that I love as much as I do.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, you're not supposed to do it, but here's the thing. At this level, every player has MF'd their coach. It happens.
But physically bumping into him?
Sometimes that happens too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Think about it. It's we're talking about a territorial sport, right? Like, the whole goal is to take territory, period. Like, that's what it is, to stop people from taking territory and to try to take territory. That's the nature of the sport. So the men that are going to be involved by nature are going to be territorial. So, yeah, it happens. You're passionate. You see things one way. Your coach sees them another. You might get into a little bit of an argument. You know, you might go nose to nose. You might bump each other. That happens. Teammates fight in training camp. It happens all the time. That's the part that people don't see that often. Sometimes it spills over onto the sidelines and you get an incident like what took place. But this is commonplace in the NFL. Now, you don't usually want to show your coach up when you're at a game. And so I guess that's the part where Travis was a little out of pocket and it's bad form. It's not something that you want to take place, but I also understand the circumstances. It's the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And we just gave away an opportunity to score a touchdown because tight end Noah Gray missed his block. And guess what? Travis Kelce would have been the tight end that would have been in that situation blocking him. Now, I'm not saying Travis Kelce is a trained killer when it comes to blocking, but Travis Kelce probably would have been better at getting in the way so Isaiah Pacheco wouldn't have been left out there by one of his teammates. So I guess when I'm looking at the situation, it's much ado about nothing. And the fact that he is so so outward with his praise for Andy Reid and crediting him with what he's done with his career, I just think this is the nature of the relationship between those two is what allows them to get past something where the optics were so bad.
Yeah, did he handle it the right way? No, and he apologized for it. He shouldn't be bumping into Andy Reid, screaming and cussing in his face. That's obviously not the way that he should handle it. But I want people on my team that care that much about winning. I want people on my team that are so fired up at the thought that they're not in the game and they can't impact helping our team win, I would take that 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
Again, was the delivery okay? No, and he apologized for it. And again, kudos to his brother for holding him accountable for that. Yeah. But I want somebody on my team who cares that much about winning that game.
And you know the other thing about that, Smalls? You want somebody that's not going to back down to the head coach, because if he's not going to back down to the coach, he ain't going to back down to the opponent.
Oh, good point.
He's not. And that's the thing. I've played for coaches in the NFL that was something that they believed to their core. Like, they would challenge players because they wanted players to push back, and they felt like they could trust that guy in the heat of battle, because if he pushed back on me, the head coach who's in an authoritative position within the organization, he'll push back when the opponents push him on game day. That's how the tune of Bill Parcells was. Like, he would needle you, he would poke and prod you in practice because he wanted to get you fired up. He wanted to see if you had that passion, if you had that dog. Mm-hmm. He wanted that out of his players. And he felt like, you know what? If he's not going to back down to me, he's not going to back down to the opponent.
Love that.
So I'll take a player like
that. Brian got a head coaching job because of that, because he got in Brady's face.
That's what I'm saying. I'll take somebody around me that has that kind of mentality in a hyper-competitive sport like the NFL.
Yeah, you have to think about the root of it. Like, what was the cause of the moment? But I compare and contrast it to the Cowboys at the end of the season saying they were tired.
We're tired and burnt out.
Okay, hold on a second.
Think about that. No, she brings up a great point. Because I'm sitting here thinking about, has anybody played more football than the Kansas City Chiefs over the last 6 years?
Absolutely not. And it's specifically that guy.
Specifically Travis Kelce. Like, they play a ton of football. And they're not tired. They're not burnt out. As a matter of fact, they're more passionate in those moments.
They want to play more. Yeah. He's quite literally angry at his head coach.
I haven't seen Travis Kelce that fired up in years.
But let's go back to what Jason Kelce said. It is unacceptable to do that. Whether it happens or not, it happens behind closed doors. Nuno, our producer, has asked a great question. Does the who matter? Like, if that was Aaron Rodgers in a Super Bowl bumping his head coach, we would not have the same reaction as we have right now. You brought up the Cowboys. If Dak Prescott bumped Mike McCarthy like that, our reaction would be different.
Hold on. Do they win the game?
I don't know. I mean, but does it matter?
I think it matters.
I think the who matters.
The who matters, but I also think the result matters, because I don't think this is as big of a deal because they ended up winning the game.
But I think Tom
Brady did that all the time.
Not physically bumping them.
What?
But the who matters?
Not physically bumping them, but he's in somebody's face, nose to nose, whether it's Josh McDaniels or Bill Belichick, yelling at him. Like, what are you talking about? No, like, it's still disrespectful.
That confirms the point.
Exactly.
But that confirms the point. Because Brady is going to get the benefit of the doubt because he's Tom Brady, right? Travis Kelce gets the benefit of the doubt because everybody loves Travis Kelce. I think there are some players on some teams and some coaches that would not get the benefit of the doubt like Travis Kelce did on this. And I don't think there's anything wrong. I think it would be wrong if he was trying to defend his actions, which he did not.
Well, I'll treat everybody fairly. I'm not going to treat everybody the same, right? And that's what it comes down to. Like, Travis Kelce has earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to that because of the rapport that he has with Andy Reid.
No doubt.
And listen, we ain't talking about Antonio Bryant when he threw his practice jersey at Bill Parcells.
That's not a smart move.
It's not the same thing. This is not equal. So I guess that's the whole point. It's like, because the player has earned the trust of the head coach and earned the trust of the fans in terms of willing to do whatever it takes to be successful and win, we're willing to dismiss the moment that we saw from Travis Kelce. Yeah, it's not the proper decorum, especially when we consider the circumstances where there's more cameras on you in that game than any other game you're going to be a part of. But at the same time, we understand the stakes.
But
I'm not into the respectability politics when it comes to being called world champion for a third time in the last 5 years. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't care about the optics. I'm trying to win a damn football game. So, yeah, I guess it's no guess. It wasn't right what he did, but I understand it. And I don't think it's going to matter in the grand scheme when we look back on the success that this team has started to have. It's not going to interrupt the relationship that Travis Kelce has with his teammates or with the coaching staff or with the organization. It's just not.
I'm not arguing that at all. I just think in general, the who matters. Like, Greeny brought up a great point, I thought, this week, saying, imagine if Mike McCarthy had the exact same Super Bowl that Kyle Shanahan had. And now, by the way, we're getting to the place of Kyle Shanahan being in that Mike McCarthy conversation of questioning things, right?
Definitely.
And then historically, Mike McCarthy's actually more accomplished than Kyle Shanahan.
Mike McCarthy got a championship.
That's right.
But the who in this case matters. And this is a compliment to the Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs, as a football team, with what happens in the four quarters and overtime of a football game, have earned the benefit of the doubt 10 times out of 10. They have a Hall of Fame player bumping into, by accident, a Hall of Fame coach. We give them the benefit of the doubt. They've earned that. They're that good. But I do think we wouldn't necessarily apply our logic with other teams in this scenario. I don't think if Aaron Rodgers bumped Robert Saleh, we'd look at it the exact same way. And I think we're all agreeing on that.
Right, but I also, again, think had the Chiefs lost the game, it's something we would have examined differently. We would have talked about things, Patrick Mahomes losing his cool throughout the season. Right.
The end of the dynasty.
We would have viewed it through a completely different lens. Winning matters in this scenario.
So it was something, and it became nothing then, right? Or it could have been something.
Winning is the ultimate deodorant.
Right. Big time.
Period. Don't have to apologize for a championship, as Wendy says all the time. Coming up, I'm over it on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, each and every day at this time, Pat Costello, our producer, gives us news or items, around sports, entertainment, and the world that he's over. Pat is out today.
Well, he was here.
He was here, though.
Oh, I wasn't going to bring that part up.
Oh,
go ahead.
Sorry.
No, we should bring it up.
All right, go
he
ahead.
He decided he wanted to be a quitter on the show.
Okay, well, we have that. Yeah. Now, that's that. So I will take
over. I'm over him being a quitter.
Okay,
This ain't the first time either. Like, I'm tired of Pat tapping out on the show. What happened to playing through being hurt?
Or at least playing through your segment.
Yeah.
Like, you were here.
We're depending on you for I'm over it. And you decide you're over the show today? Just because you don't feel
great? This would have never happened if y'all didn't make him go out in the snow.
Oh, now here we come with the excuses.
Here we come with the excuses.
He would have been fine, but y'all had him out there making snow angels on Tuesday.
Wow. He does have a point.
Javonte, you didn't laugh from that?
Yeah, I did, but look what happened.
Well, you know what?
It was worth it.
It was worth it.
To be fair,
I gotta be honest.
He did make snow angels and then had to sit in wet pants for hours. Yeah. That couldn't have been great.
No, okay. Well, you know what? It was funny. Add on Sports ESPN and all of our social for you to see that. All right, here we go. I'm over it. You know what I'm over? When you have bad itches when you're driving in spots you can't actually reach.
Okay.
What do you mean, okay? Like, you've never had an itch on your leg or the back of your, your back when you're driving, and you have to remove your hand from the steering wheel and try to itch as you're driving. That's never happened to you?
Try to itch as you're driving? Okay.
What's happening to you?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think no matter what I say, everybody's going to fight this.
Having a bad itch. I don't know.
You've never. Nobody's ever had this. You guys not drive? Well, you don't drive.
Oh, you have a car. Must be nice.
Right?
All right, I give up.
That's rich New Yorker problems.
A 2016 car that I have?
No, I don't think I've ever experienced that, but I can see how it would be.
Or like when you
stressful,
sneeze, when you sneeze when you're driving, and then your eyes close and you get nervous about, like, I'm not looking at the road.
Every time I sneeze, if I'm driving and I come to, I'm like, "Woo, that was close."
Yes.
That's close. Oh my gosh!
All right, next one. I wore a vest on the show a few weeks ago, and someone said, "Oh, you're a vest guy." If you wear something once, are you a something guy or gal as a result of that?
You can be.
I'm now a vest guy?
Because if it's a choice. If you wear a vest without a jacket or a sport coat, It's kind of weird.
No, I wore like the bubble vest, like the puffy vest thing.
A puffer vest?
That one too. You're not outside.
But I'm a vest guy?
Yeah, if you're wearing a puffer vest and you're not outside, it's kind of weird. Yes. I would say that. If you're wearing a vest, if you're wearing a puffer vest and you're not outside, it's weird. If you're wearing like a vest that belongs on a three-piece suit with no jacket, you're kind of weird. So I can understand why somebody would be giving you the side eye with either choice.
I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt on the puffer vest. If it was a Patagonia vest, like a fleece vest, you're a vest guy.
How do you get the benefit of the doubt with the puffer, though?
Because I own a puffer vest that I wear when I run outside sometimes.
Sure, but not when you're inside, not when you're in the studio doing the show. Like, at that point, it's just being gauche. You're trying to show off and say, I've got a puffer vest.
Oh, trying to rub it in?
Yeah, it's like, I've got a puffer vest. Oh, look at me.
I have an extra layer today.
How cool am I?
I wear more layers than anyone.
Like, stop it, man.
Well, that's not me.
Stop it.
That's someone over here.
I don't wear it on the set.
But you have it.
Indeed, I do.
Exactly. But there's a reason why you're not wearing it, because it ain't that damn cold in the studio. I just checked the thermostat. It's 68 degrees in here.
It's 68? Confirmed. Can we bump it
up
to 70?
Cold enough to wear a puffer vest in the studio.
I think it's cold enough in here to wear a parka, but to each their own.
But you, are you a mob wife gal because you wore it once?
Absolutely.
Oh, you want to be the...
Absolutely.
Got it. Okay. All right. Next one. I'm over the fact that it has been 2 months and we have not brought something to this show that happened in our lives. Nuno and I have been talking about this behind the scenes for a while now. There is a budding friendship, the most unlikely of friendships that you'll ever hear about in your life. Michelle Smallman and professional bowler Pete Weber.
What are you talking about?
Nuno, help me out on this. We were in Florida and Pete Weber and Michelle Smallman were on a bus. And they were talking each other's ear off about St. Louis, and we have yet to bring this up.
Why would you bring it up? It's just two people from St. Louis enjoying one another's company, talking a little 314.
You're a little jealous that she was talking to Pete Weber and you weren't?
No, I'm good.
No, he was living in his glory with all the quarterbacks around him, right? Like, he thought he was part of that group, trying to weasel
in the Brady Quinn table.
You and Brady Quinn had a bromance?
We did.
Yeah. Okay. But no, Michelle, that was... that was a little interesting.
Why was it interesting?
I mean...
People from St. Louis are like magnets to one another. We find each other in every scenario. It's a small place, and we love each other. We have a lot of civic pride. So the fact that there was two people from St. Louis in West Palm, of course we're going to find each other, and we're going to talk about our city. Of course we are.
I don't know. They were together for a long period of time talking about like 85 Cardinals, basically.
Well, we were talking about the 85 Cardinals. We were talking about the Cardinals last year and the pitching issues that still exist this year.
But Smalls and Pete Weber, just the obvious combination.
Yeah, he was all in on like Smalls and just being, you know, the St. Louis thing. Like, that was just a little... It's like Pete Weber. He's like, he's the GOAT. Yes, it's Bolin, but he is the GOAT.
He is.
And all of a sudden, like, he's fawning off over Michelle and her St. Louis knowledge and all that. So it was a little... It was a mutual fawn.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just mutual love and respect between me and Pete Weber. Shout out to Pete. Love ya.
All right. Last one for me, and I'm over it. Somebody reached out to me, and they said they don't understand the multiple collar people. When you wear multiple collars.
Who's wearing multiple collars?
Well, Justin Craig, our boss, always does, but that's not about Justin.
Well, right now, Evan has on multiple collars.
How do I have multiple collars?
If we're talking about I'm over it, well, because there's a collar on the sweater,
right?
And there's a collar on the shirt.
Oh.
It's multiple collars.
I wouldn't consider this.
That is a collar on a shirt, because you can wear that vest without having that collared shirt underneath it.
I would call that a singular collar. I think if it folds down, it's a collar, right?
Yeah.
But that's multiple collars too.
I don't look at this.
I'm not thinking about multiple collars as just Kanye from the 2000s where he's got two polo shirts.
Two polo shirts on at the same time.
That is multiple collars too. Like, that is absolutely multiple collars.
I don't think so.
Yes, it is. That is the Zubin look. And I'm just, if we're talking about things that we're over, I am over you wearing that outfit when it comes to the sweater.
What would you like me to wear?
The collar shirt. That's not you.
Tell me what you would like me to wear.
I just got used to Hoodie Evan with the members only jacket on top of it.
I don't understand why you're deviating from it.
It's uncomfortable for me.
I don't like it. I'm making you uncomfortable with the sweater and button down? I thought about going to HR last commercial break. I'm like, I don't like you doing that.
This is not. not a multiple collar.
That
look.
Is a multiple collar situation.
It's a collar with the collar jacket.
What
with
is this? That is a collar right there.
No, that's a V-neck sweater,
my friend. It's a V-neck, but a V-neck is a collar.
Is it?
Yes, a V-neck is a collar.
I think a V-neck's a neck, it's, not a collar.
It's I will say, you're kind of giving me principal energy today.
Yes.
Like, I feel like we might get scolded.
Like he might be an extra on Abbott Elementary.
Great show.
I don't think I'd be an extra. Maybe. I'd be a star.
Wow.
I'd be a star. I'm not an extra guy. I'm a star guy.
You're a star
main
guy?
Character.
Yeah. I'm a main character if I'm the principal.
The principal on Abbott Elementary is the star. She's hilarious. No,
yeah. I'm just saying, like, the collar upon the collar upon the collar. This is not that. It's when you wear the collared shirt with the collar underneath or the collar jacket.
So you are,
or the
you
collar quarter zip thing.
Are talking about 2007, kind of the double collar pop.
So if you go Peyton Manning with the three-quarter zip, if you go Michael Wilbon with the three-quarter zip.
But then
the
you also put the collar jacket on it. Yeah. It's a lot of collars, right? I don't know. I mean, that's just, okay. All right.
So when you're wearing a hoodie and a jacket, are you double collaring it?
Wearing a hoodie and a no, because well it's based on CeCe, I am, but not based on you and I, because I don't look at that collarless jacket.
You're doing a double collar right now.
I'm not doing it. There's no double collar.
Let's put out a collar. Let's put out a collar.
No double.
It's a double collar.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.